Yeah, yo, we have arrived. It's Tuesday. You know what? There is not a better time to be a Tuesday than to be right now. You guys to be here with us. I'm John Brown, and this is a Mightier 1090. This court you see on my screen if you're watching on YouTube. I'm going to get that out of the way. Try eventually. If not, you can't hear it anyway because you're listening on the radio on the Mightier 1090, or you're listening via podcast. I'm John Brown, is the voice you're hearing, and I'm joined by my co-host, comedian extraordinaire. At some point, because the Dave Chappelle released a special today, we'll talk about top five comedians of all time. Jason Lawhead, what's up, brother?
What up, brother? Good to be here. Another Tuesday, fun day. I can't wait to get started. We don't have a lot of time. Every time the show ends, I'm like, what? Come on.
Where did he go?
So, can't wait to get into it, bro.
Winners, losers, for those of you guys who are new to the show, we start our show every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, with winners on the first half and losers on the second half. Unless the loser's big news, then the loser goes first, because sometimes the loser is first. Not today. We do winners and losers, where we talk about the person who won yesterday and the person who lost yesterday in the sporting world, or sometimes just the world. For me today at sports, the winner for me, we'll get to Jason. Who's your winner?
My winner today is coming out of kind of breaking news of this morning is Pau Gasol. Legendary Pau Gasol announced his official retirement from the NBA after 19 years, a couple of championships. Such a class act, especially in the wake of the tragedy from over a year and a half ago of Kobe Bryant. They really became close as teammates. His retirement statement speech had a lot of great things to say about what Kobe's effect on Pau was. And you'd be remiss to say how big of an effect Pau was on Kobe to bring those extra last two championships to him and help him get those to cement some of that just ongoing legacy of his five titles. I don't think, you know, with some of the experiments they were making, especially when Phil left and Shaq left, and, you know, they were trying to put some teams together and some different coaches, it just didn't work. And then Phil came back and Pau joined the mix. And for Pau to be that kind of a team player, you know, to come into that situation with Kobe, who's so ball centric, some people would even call him a ball hog to some point, but Pau was always that consistent force. He was always a double guy rebounder. He was a double guy every night. If Kobe was off and they needed Pau to get 30 and change, he went out and got it. If it was a night where Kobe took over and Pau was only going to need 7, 8, 9 points, he still stayed engaged at both ends, ran the floor, played great low post defense. And I think when you talk about foreign born players outside of at least North America, you can't make a Mount Rushmore without Pau Gasol. You'd say Olajuwon, Nowitzki are there. I don't think there's a third head that's better than Pau Gasol, and you can debate the fourth ones when you talk about international players and his contributions to the international game during Olympic play. And such a great ball player. I think he was kind of just, you know, the way he went about business overlooked, and a winner to the umpteenth degree, and he showed it even more in his humanity over the years, and especially the last couple of years with the Bryant family. So salute and great retirement. Best wishes to Pau Gasol.
My winner is none other than Justin Herbert. Last night, Justin Herbert delivered, and not only kind of delivered, absolutely delivered on the big stage against a rival. All these people, and I hear you, I get it. You keep telling me the Chargers have no fans. They know they have no fans. But you know what Justin Herbert keeps doing? Producing. You know what Justin Herbert keeps doing? Putting up numbers. You know what Justin Herbert keeps doing? Leading the team. This idea that, oh, someone's going to take over your stadium is just another road game to them. Period. Point blank. End of story. Because they've been doing this entirely too long. Them, I mean, the Chargers up to this point. They know they don't have a home field advantage. They know they may never have a home field advantage. The best case for them is a neutral site. Their first two home games in SoFi, if I'm wrong, please correct me. The Dallas Cowboys, they're going to overpower you. And then the Las Vegas Raiders, and they're going to overpower you because there are more fans for the Raiders in Los Angeles right now than there are for the Los Angeles Chargers. So winners, losers, broke it down real easy, man. Justin Herbert stole the show last night. Like I knew he would, like we talked about on the show. I knew he would come through with flying colors, passing that big time test. And he did. And he absolutely did.
Yeah, and it just cements what you said earlier even more, what he's producing. And, you know, yeah, we laugh that the Chargers don't have any fans and they're up against it every week, whether they're at home or on the road. But one thing that this Justin Herbert kid might actually do is start producing some Charger fans out there and really start getting some people that may have been the casual LA resident or in that big area to go, you know what? I want to start rooting for this team because he's fun to watch and a leader.
Los Angeles is filled with front runners. Okay.
I'm going to,
and everyone knows this. This isn't a secret other than the Lakers and the Dodgers. They're never going to let anybody overcome the Lakers. They're never going to let anyone overcome the Dodgers. Anybody else? You can, the Kings can be written out of the picture easily. USC football has already been written out of the front page. UCLA football never made the back page. You can have Justin Herbert catapult this franchise in Los Angeles above the Rams. People say that's not possible. Look at how good he is. LA wants winners. The people in Los Angeles want to be seen at what's happening. And if Justin Herbert turns this into must-see football, you know where the stars are going to be on Sunday? Where the Chargers are, not necessarily where the Rams are. And that's what it comes down to. How much star power can you get in the building to support? Because if you're asking me, Justin Herbert is better than Matthew Stafford. And it's not even close for me.
Well, I mean, if you ask me today, who would you have? Would you take? I'm taking Justin Herbert all day long, and you're right there. And even if you were to be able to compare Herbert to Stafford in any way of saying, well, I would take Stafford, the swagger of, you know, it's an unpurposeful swagger. It isn't some boastful swagger, but he's got it, you know. Yeah, there's that it factor, they say, right? Whether it's, you know, in politics or entertainment or sports. I mean, sports is a little different. You've got to be, you know, perform the actual task at hand. You could do it like Kawhi Leonard and not say anything, but you can have some swagger. And there's just an it factor that Herbert has. And, yeah, I mean, he may make this, you know, over the next 10 or so years, the cool kids in town, and wouldn't that be something?
Oy, wouldn't that make a lot of people here throw up in their mouth? what we talked about yesterday to kind of end the show, and we felt both like it was really important that we needed to get back to this, and this was the matter of what's going on with baseball. Some of you may know, some of you may not know. Tonight starts the Major League Baseball playoff with the Yankees and the Red Sox. You couldn't have picked two better teams to put on television to represent your sport. The problem is no one knows. The playoff system in baseball is absolutely broken, and it needs fixed pronto. I thought last year what they did during COVID put so much juice and so much energy into their playoffs that they wouldn't turn their back on it. The 162-game schedule is by far the most grueling schedule in professional sports. And for you to only reward such a small amount of teams seems criminal. The brightest stars of baseball will never be able to make their name in the postseason because there's too many things that need to go into making the Major League Baseball postseason. You cannot tell me that you don't want to see Ohtani in the postseason or Mike Trout in the postseason or Tatis or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You saw Bryce Harper in the postseason. That's how Bryce Harper made his name. You saw Steven Strasburg. That's how these guys made their name, by playing in postseason baseball. And the fact that you may never see Mike Trout again play postseason baseball, that you may never, if he stays with the Angels, see Ohtani play postseason baseball because of how little teams get in. There's something wrong with that, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, by idea and design, baseball, it's almost right. It's almost got what it should be doing. And you're right. Last year's shortened season that furnished this new, just, hey, we're going to try this postseason format, was really exciting.
Yes.
And maybe what baseball needs to examine is going back to a 154-game schedule, and maybe You know, when you throw in some doubleheaders in there, however many each team gets, now you've got a good 2 weeks of the back end of September to play a bunch of play-in games, right? So now you can play a bunch of play-in games. So you've got your division winners that can lock up stuff, right? Now you could play a couple of play-in games to get teams to the next round, So you're involving more players, right? Like, it would be great to see an Ohtani, even if the Angels were 7 games below 500, to see him pitch and hit in a one-game playoff that would get the Angels to maybe a second one-game playoff to have to play somebody else in some other form or fashion, or a couple of three. Now, those teams can add up to 162 games somehow. And, you know, at least possibly you could figure out something where the teams that clinch play teams that won't have a chance to be in the one-game playoffs because they're so bad, just to keep guys pitching and playing for a week or a week and a half or whatever it takes to get you to October 1st. I think that they should go down to two divisions again and maybe make even a little bit more wild card formats. Let teams play each other more. The Yankees and Indians, let's say, because, you know, now that there's three divisions, you play everybody in your division so much and you don't really play anybody else in your league more than you go there once for a three-game series. They come here to your place once for a three-game series. Indians and Yankees, the old Eastern Division, used to play each other, I think, 18 times. You'd go there for three-game series. They'd come here for three. So I think there's a lot they can do to fix this and avoid, like I said, it's good in idea. It's bad in execution.
They had the Red Sox and the Yankees win 90 games. Toronto won 90 games, will not take part in the postseason. The Seattle Mariners came out of nowhere. One of the most fun, untalked about stories in baseball. 90 wins, get nothing to show for it. The Los Angeles Dodgers, because this is the most important part of the point to me, for me. The Los Angeles Dodgers, because I want to make sure I get this right, they won 106 games. 106 games. And they're in a one-game playoff. I don't care what your situation is, what your statistics tell you. If you win 106 games and all you get is the chance for a one-game playoff, that's not right. You won the second most games in baseball. Yeah. All of it. And you've got a one-game playoff. By the way, the only team won more games than you. They won one more game than you. They're in your division. It doesn't make any sense for baseball. It doesn't make sense for the fan bases. It doesn't make sense for your paying customers. They're not getting the best product at the most important time of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, had the Dodgers or had the Giants lost on Sunday, then they would have been tied with the most wins. And the Dodgers would have taken the West by head-to-head matchups. And the Giants, by theory, would have been in a one-game playoff with the most wins in baseball. And now, you know, second most wins, like you said, only one behind, is still ridiculous. So I think they've got to expand some of what they want to bring into some of these exciting one-game playoffs, but maybe do it over a 5 to 6 day span where teams have to do a one to advance to another one to get. And then maybe if you split these divisions back up in two, you don't have to worry about a team that finishes second with the second best record having a play-in game. They're waiting for somebody to come in from a play-in game, and you can still make them a wild card, and you can still break up brackets like the NFL or the NBA does with adding more teams to their playoff system. So you're right. If I'm a Dodger fan and my team was in a pennant race all the way to the last day and came up short by winning it, and then they got to go play a one-game playoff, and Adam Wainwright just has a night where you can't hit the guy, and they lose 1-0, I'm going to be doing more than fighting another Cardinal fan in the crowd. I'm going to go down on the field and start, you know, looking for the National League president. It's something has to be repaired. Like I said, like they've taken steps to make the pennant races better in idea. It's the right, you know, they've got the right purpose. It's just poor execution and poor logistics.
I have felt this way for a very long time. baseball has relegated itself to a regional sport. It is no longer a national sport. The people who care about baseball more than any other sport, they only care about their team and their team only. It is not like that in basketball. It is absolutely not like that in football. And the only reason why that makes sense to me is that baseball does not market its players. They do not market their stars. And at the most important time, you do not have your best players out in front. And if for the NBA, if that meant for half the league make the playoffs, that's what they said. Half the league make the playoffs. And that's what we know. What else we're going to do? We're going to throw some play-in games on the end of this. So if you 12th in the standings, you get a shot at making the playoffs because they get it. They understand it. It's a long season. And the last thing that they need is their version of the Yankees, this being the Dodgers, or I'm sorry, their version of the Lakers in baseball being the Dodgers, or the Yankees being out of it after a game. It doesn't make any logical sense from a business marketing standpoint. If I'm in the baseball major league office, I'm going to my marketing person, and the second we have anybody in a playoff picture, commercial, 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 commercial. Go film a commercial with this guy. Go film a commercial with that guy. They don't do it. They don't do it. And since you, people love Ohtani. Ohtani, you're a huge Ohtani guy.
I love Ohtani.
Imagine if you put Ohtani in October on the mound against whoever.
And batting second.
Right. Imagine a story that you could tell about the greatest baseball player who is still living and breathing playing, take the mound, get 10 strikeouts in 8 innings, and hit 2 home runs. That's the story.
Yeah, I mean, and you make a great point about how they've really narrowed themselves down to the regional fan base, whereas the NFL and the NBA fan, even the novice fan, knows a lot about the rest of what's going on in the league with other teams, and they follow other teams, and they may have a second or third favorite team, or, you know, they know who their stars are. It's a little easier, I think, in the NBA to market stars because the rosters are shorter, but the NFL does a great job, right?
But this is why I disagree, because people say that I disagree. Baseball and basketball are very similar. They're face sports. You see their face.
Right.
You can market the individual. That's why Tatis is on commercials, and his jerseys are showing up random places in baseball games where you go, the Padres don't play the Yankees this year, but his jersey is in the stands. Baseball has just bungled this. They have the ability to market young, energetic, smart, athletic players, and they don't do it.
Yeah, they've got to somehow modernize what they were successful with. The baseball card was successful for them,
yes,
right?
It
back
was.
In the days when it was a thing that, you know, you didn't have Instagram, you didn't have something. They've somehow got to get this thing in the marketing of how they put that face out. You're right, because it is a face board. And
remember,
I do agree.
Chicks dig the long ball.
Chicks dig the long ball. Yeah. And that's what, you know, the game really is built on that. So, you know, they like to tinker with all these new rules and all these little things and tinker with that and tinker with this. And they're taking their eye off the real prize, which you're saying. And they find themselves in these situations where all of a sudden there's going to be some real mad Yankee or Red Sox fans in a couple of hours. Or they're, you know, if the Dodgers lose, boy, oh boy, there's going to be some real. Ooh. And then just fans of the real fans of baseball that are still left that aren't in that regional fan space kind of go, well, that kind of stinks. I mean, you know, Cardinals and the Giants instead of the Dodgers and the Giants, you know. So
the real loserness will be when you get ready to when these individual wild card games end. If your winner is St. Louis, and let's just for sake of market share, let's say it's Boston. The real loser in this is baseball, because now you've lost Los Angeles and you've now lost New York. And you can say what you want. Postseason baseball is about getting eyes to the television. And since you've now relegated yourself to a regional sport, if you don't have a large market in your World Series, it won't get watched. It won't register. You might get beat on a Sunday. Well, correction. You will get beat on a Sunday night by a football game, without question.
Oh,
without question. Worse.
A bad, even a bad matchup, even a bad football matchup.
The Jets and the Jaguars would beat a Sunday night baseball game, a playoff baseball game. That might be the World Series game.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's like the Dodgers and the Yankees, right? But if you know, and that's where you're right, where they've got to lift up some of these franchises to at least give them a chance to move on. If you're gonna let the Cardinals have this one game shot against a team with 106 wins and potentially not knock them off, well, then put some other teams in position.
Yes.
You know, with stars, right?
Yes.
Because if you have a Rays Cardinals World Series, a lot of people are going to be like, who are on these teams? If an Ohtani was on the Rays or a
star power,
right?
Star power,
right?
When we come back, we've got some losers and somebody is a losing back to back days. Oh, I can't wait to get to this. Brown and Lawhead, we'll be back. Browner and Lawhead, we are back for the second half of the pod. Listen, man, Urban Meyer, you are. Mwah, my friend, you are the gift that keeps on giving. John Browner, Jason Lawhead, you're listening to us on the Mighty 1090. I'm trying to get through all this because, you know, you got to do this kind of stuff. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on all the social media platforms by going Kaplan and Crew. And we are in there. Enough of that. Jason, how's it going?
What do you want, my loser? Or are you going to go first?
Hey, listen, I got to go now. We do winners and losers on this show. First half of the show, we do winners. Second half of the show, we do losers, unless the loser is an absolute loser. And if we knew this before the time of the show started, we would have done losers first. Urban Meyer. Oh, where do I start? This man can't get out of his own way. In a league. You know what? I'm gonna go with what I was talking about before, because this we're supposed to do like a minute or two on this. Nah, bro. We're gonna dive in. We belly flopping in on this one. Urban Meyer got caught over the weekend with a woman who he said was a random, but a random don't grind on a person of that stature in that state in his own bar. So now it comes out that she, because she's clearly chasing fame, says that this isn't. They know each other in a roundabout way. It appears that they may have met before this encounter. In addition to that, Urban Meyer, after a Thursday night football game, did not fly back with the team or fly back at all to, you know, get ready for next week. Because it's not like they got a bye next week. They just played on Thursday, so they got a couple extra days off. But instead of him flying back to Jacksonville to get ready because he's 0-4, he chose to stay in Ohio. And thus we have the hands under center moment. He now, according to reports, has apologized to the team. This is what he said. The reports are now coming out that, like a coward, he didn't apologize to the entire team. He specifically apologized to position groups, in smaller doses. Because you know why he did that? You know why? Because he's a coward. And he doesn't belong in a man's sport. He belongs coaching boys. Because let's just be real. I'm going to be real with you. Every man in that locker room understands a transgression. Every man in that locker room, I don't want to say that they're all like that, but for the majority of them, I can guarantee you they either got another woman on the side at some point or a man. Because we're cooking now. We're cooking with gas, okay? One of the two. So they understand extramarital. You know what you say to them? You go in the door like a man. You don't say this woman to some random woman. You say, hey, look, fellas, I messed up. And I messed up big time. I shouldn't have been caught like this. I shouldn't have been out there like this. Because if this was one of y'all, I'd be killing y'all. So y'all got the right to kill me. As your head coach, I failed. This will not happen again. I promise you. This will not happen again. I showed a lack of integrity. And by not flying back and getting ready for next week, like I should have been doing, I let you guys down from a strategic standpoint. I let my family down. And most important, after my family, I let my football team down. And for that, I apologize. But he didn't do that. He did a media blitz. He's on television here. He's on television here. He's doing press conferences. He's apologizing all over the place. His wife's on Twitter liking things like, oh, you deserve better, Shelly. She's liking tweets now, okay? Bro, maybe this is a ploy for you to just get out of professional football and go back to college coaching at USC, coaching at Miami, coaching at wherever the next plan stop may be for you, brother. But the man's gaming for you. You need to go back to the boys.
Yeah, it's alarming because this apology news. First off, the press conference yesterday was that was embarrassing, right? And now, but what he says he admits to in the press conference now is coming out that wasn't even accurate, and it even shows the press conference to be even worse. And you're pretty right on the head, in my opinion. And if I'm Urban Meyer, but we're finding out who Urban Meyer really is.
Yes.
You know, he was never a choir boy. I never had any expectations of that, but we're really finding out kind of the bottom of this guy. So all he really had to say, and you're right, in certain circumstances, he didn't really even have to apologize to his team other than not taking that flight back with them. He should have said, look, this is a matter between me and my wife, but what I apologize to you for is not flying back with you after going 0-4. And yeah, we had 10 days off, and I could have traveled back to you to the team facility when all you guys got in your cars. I could have stayed my night in my office or whatever, and I could have flown to Columbus the next day to be with my family and grandkids for the day or two that I was giving all of us off. But I apologize for not being your head coach on Thursday night after that football game. Mm-hmm. And I'll take care of what I got to take care of with my family as you guys take care of what you got to take care of. And we would confront this in the locker room. If anything happens to you, we'll keep this together, whatever. But his,
you see, and my wife, and I apologize to the team, and I just told them that,
and it's just, you're right. He really showed the immaturity of somebody that doesn't belong in the NFL. And not to say that the NFL is some, you know, breeding ground for the most mature people in the world, but
not.
when you come to this point of being national championship coach at the college level, he's no young guy. I mean, he's young for the success he's had, but he's not a young person when it comes to taking responsibilities or dodging it. So sad. I mean, Jacksonville is even in a bigger mess they were before they even knew who they were going to hire, or before they even knew who Trevor Lawrence ever was.
Right.
They're in a mess.
This is why this is interesting to me from a standpoint of he's in over his head, from a standpoint that this isn't Columbus, Ohio. You can't give a media member dirty looks and they'll stop asking you questions. Normally these guys need access. But if they get a big enough bone to chew on, they will go, damn that access, because this will get me on ESPN. This will get me on Fox. I got to chase this. This ain't Columbus. This ain't Gainesville. When you mess up to this level, the only thing you can do is admit what you did wrong and have the next thing in the news cycle blow your story back to the next page.
Right.
But you know how dumb you are? You know how dumb this guy is? Speaking of blowing things somewhere, he's doing a television interview on the I'm Sorry Tour, okay? Not Justin Bieber's the I'm Sorry Tour, the Urban Meyer I'm Sorry Tour. And his friend, I don't know who this other guy is, during an interview with a local television station, one of his buddies comes in the room. You can see it through a mirror of a reflection of the camera when he's on television. This isn't the feed that somebody from the station leaked out. This went on television. You can see someone come into the room and start smoking a bong. And the sheer terror on his face of stop, no, move, get out. It's kind of like when he's in a game and something's going wrong and he's running down the sideline and he's trying to throw the flag to get a replay or get someone's attention for a timeout. Just sheer, utter panic. Because you know what that face is? Damn, I just lost my job. Damn. Because the owner literally just went on television or released a statement saying he violated a clause in his contract of morality. And I guess, I don't really know what kind of morality you can have in the NFL when you got murderers and rapists getting first downs and doing touchdown dances. But okay, cool. Head coaches, maybe not so much. But then Andy Reid's son killed somebody in a drunk driving accident. But that's nor here or there when we talk about morality. this guy is in a hell of a lot of trouble, and he literally can't even get out of his own way.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's one of the few guys that literally are the face of their franchise. Usually it's a player.
Right.
I mean, even when Bill Belichick, you know, I mean, he shared that limelight with Tom Brady as the face of that Patriot franchise for all of those years of success. And even though Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick, Urban Meyer still was brought in to be the face of that franchise from the top office down to the head coach. And he was going to, you know, put all the pieces together. And you're right. This isn't Columbus, Ohio. Guess what? The press has access to all 48 guys that get to say whatever they want because they're making money.
Yes.
These aren't college kids you can't get to and say, hey, what did your coach say in the locker room? Because these kids are just
terrified.
They're scholars first and they're dumb. They're gummed up. They've got 50 assistant coaches making sure they don't go outside of their dorms or their practice facilities. Well, now this is one of these never-ending stories, and you're right. Hey, I should have been on that plane with you. I'll take care of what I got to take care of with my family. We're going to get ready for week five come, you know, Saturday morning or Sunday morning, whatever day we go back, and I'll deal with this. But and what you said, I think you said something really funny where you said, let the next big story blow this over. Well, guess what? He is the next big story. The day after, more stuff comes out that he knew the girl. Now his press conference looks even worse. All of the apologies are empty. Now there's a video. So who knows what tomorrow's going to bring for this guy? He may be the story that keeps blowing himself back over. It's unbelievable.
For a guy
at that age with all his experience in life has put himself not just in that situation, but then to further it by just spewing the stuff that came out of his mouth is just, it's embarrassing.
For a league, more than any other league, and I want to get your opinion on this, because again, who gives a damn about time? It's our show. We do what we want.
Right.
The structure's out of the window. This thing is going.
Yeah.
For a league that absolutely punishes guys for smoking weed, okay? Josh Gordon has never been able to get his NFL superstar career on track because of weed. Now just getting back in the league with the Seahawks after being kicked out of the league three separate times for weed. You have a head coach whose buddy is in a trailer smoking weed. And you can't tell me Urban what up next or hadn't hit before he did the interview. So let's stop playing games, man. It's got to be over for this guy. Period. It got to be.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because there's been in the past, there's been players guilty by association for weed being with whoever the wrong person was or what have you. So
NFL careers, whether being before the draft or at Larry Tunsil, famously.
Yeah.
Dropped 15 spots, I think it was, because he had a video of him smoking out of a gas mask, appeared magically out of nowhere. Some people said it was the Miami Dolphins who ended up drafting him, but that's hearsay. Out of nowhere, cost him millions of dollars. This guy is in the room with someone, smoke just getting high, knowing he next. Come on, man.
And then this is where good reporting, whoever is in that media circle that can get to, this is where Roger Goodell has to be put to the fire. He needs to answer some questions about all of the punishments that have happened in the past and the way they view things. And he's got to go right now to the moral, you know, authority of, what about Urban Meyer? What are you going to do, if anything, about Urban Meyer? What did you think of Urban's apology? This, that, the video. Like, so until the media starts circling the wagons around Goodell a little bit, that won't be good enough. It won't be good enough reporting. And that's where Urban Meyer will survive this if he does. It'll be because Roger Goodell was left off the hook about answering anything or confronting this at all.
God, this is disgusting. I love this story. I love it when it gets this bad, man. I swear. This is why I got this job.
My loser's not as exciting, but it's still kind of a folly of something you can't believe.
This is a man of his success and of his intelligence level. This is dumb. Urban Meyer's a smart man. You don't become as successful as he didn't fail up because of his daddy. This is
Right.
Man, this is man made. This is a made man success story of how he climbed the NFL ladder. Okay, he's now the name that his son can or daughter can leech off of and get a job somewhere. Well, before this, but could leech off of and get a job. This is a made man story. He ain't stupid, but this is dumb, man. I'm fascinated by how a guy could be either one, this arrogant, this arrogant, or this clueless.
Well, I think that, you know, you say he's not dumb. Right. He has clearly a grasp of ambition and arrogance, right? That's probably his know-how of the football game, his ability to charm and his charisma, his ambition and arrogance probably is what took him to the top of getting to the food chain of coaching. But man, he looks pretty dumb. He looks and sometimes power turns you into a creature, right? I can't get caught. I'll never get caught. If I do get caught, I won't have to do anything because look at my win loss record. Look at this. They've said I've done this, I've done that, whatever. So, you know, and as that power grows and as that, you know, it yields itself, you think you're impermeable until you're not. So, surprised that he's not a perfect husband. No, but very surprised at how he dealt with all of this and is still dealing with it. And now showing it's incredible.
I'm surprised he's not a perfect husband. No, surprised he's such a sloppy cheater. Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Now Monday Night Football happened last night. We've got 5 minutes to discuss this.
Sure. So
let's hit him like this. Last night, we saw Justin Herbert, I think, show people why I think he's the second-best quarterback in the NFL. Mm. I mean, over Allen in Buffalo, over Kyler Murray in Arizona, not just below Patrick Mahomes, just below Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the second-best quarterback in the league. And yes, I'm including Aaron Rodgers, and yes, I'm including Tom Brady, because I'm talking about physical tools that are available right now going forward. The Raiders showed me what I knew was in there. I knew they still had that dysfunction left in them because of the three people that they beat. The Steelers don't look as good as they did when they played through the outcome of the season. The Steelers don't look like what people thought they would look like. They beat the ball.
And they got a gift. The Steelers got a gift from the Bills. It was a terrible game. The Bills turned the ball over in the second half, and the Steelers really got a gift. Their defense was in an opportune situation to win that game.
And in addition to that, if we remember correctly, the opening game against the Ravens, the Raiders tried to lose that game on two different occasions in overtime. The Ravens just couldn't capitalize. So that was a win, but it was a win like, oh, I don't know. People were soft on them. They had the highest passing yards or highest yards of gain in NFL history up until last night. Last night's Raiders are the Raiders you're going to see going forward. Will they have good games? Yeah, because they got decent players. But David Carr showed you who he was, and if you didn't believe him, Joey Bosa told you who he was when the game was over. So what a good game for the Chargers. Very, very damning game for the Raiders.
Yeah, you know, that Raiders, one point in the first half, I think they had 24 plays. Five of them were punts. They turned over on downs. They had 5-3 and outs. You know, they woke up. They had a little life in the second half there in that third quarter. But you just knew that wasn't going to be enough somehow with the way Herbert conducts himself out there and the way he conducts the offense, and the Chargers defense was coming up big. And you're right. I think, you know, if this is the indication of kind of what the Raiders are going to be doing or what they're capable of, that AFC West is just going to be too tough because, you know, eventually Kansas City's going to get on a roll. They may have started slow, but they're going to have their regular September at some point where they win 5, 6, 7 in a row or 7 out of 8. And I don't know, after seeing last night, if the Raiders are capable of continuing a, you know, any more 3-game winning streaks. If, you know, that first half was just really ugly. Bosa in there
against a team with firepower, the Raiders cannot see. And this is what I'm saying about when they beat the Ravens. The Ravens can score, but they can't score like the conventional NFL team. It's unconventional. It's through the run, but the run in many avenues and an occasional pass.
Right.
The way that the Chargers can score through the air in a rare fashion in the Chiefs, in a way that the Chiefs can, this is why I never bought the Raiders to win that division. That's why I was never really behind them to begin with, them or the Broncos, because we talk about the AFC West a lot because when two of the teams that are, well, one of the teams that's represented, we kind of cover them, so to speak, in our general area where the station reaches. So I thought last night was very, very, very telling for both teams and the directions that they're heading.
Sure, and that Ravens game was a lot of the Ravens going, we don't know what we're going to do until this first game.
Yes.
They had so many guys go out. They had Dobbs.
Yes,
so the Ravens
point.
Were just kind of going, well, let's see what we can get out of people so we can build from this and go forward, because we're just throwing spaghetti at the wall in week one with everything they were up against, at least in skilled position players. And you've seen them. They've been able to, you know, go the opposite way of what where the Raiders were in week four, right? The Ravens are now 3-1 mm-hmm. with a convincing win against an undefeated Denver, whereas the Raiders went and hit the wall against a division opponent. So, they're not trending to the point where they have it so figured out as maybe people thought in those
right.
first 3 weeks, as much as they may have just, you know, had the breaks go their way and, you know, played well. Of course, you got to play well to win football games. But how much will that hold up over, you know, the next 14 games?
What a show today, man. What a show.
We didn't even get the power rankings. We're going to have to do that tomorrow.
We're going to have to do power. Tomorrow's going to be packed. Tomorrow's show is going to be packed. We're going to have so much stuff to do. We might just skip winners and losers tomorrow.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe skip. Maybe you do one and you do a winner, I do a loser. I do a little loser, you do a winner, to keep it at just one each or something.
Because we're gonna need a lot of workout room tomorrow. We'll see y'all tomorrow, same time, 6 p.m. Mightier 1090 and all across the YouTubes. Peace.
Peace.